Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark, and I am on with Susan King. How are you, Susan?
I'm awesome. Hey, everybody, faithful Walnut Grovecast listeners.
They are pretty faithful.
They are, all three of them.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We had a watch party the other night, and
it was a big, pretty big watch party.
Yeah, I was really surprised. At one point, there were about 30 people in there, and I was like, wow, this is pretty interesting. Also, I started a Walnut Grovecast Instagram account. I'm not much for Instagram, but in a matter of like 4 or 5 days, I only started a few days ago. It's like 115 followers. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah, it's kind of cool. There's a lot of Little House in the Prairie on Instagram, so people should really kind of look for it. And, we kind of fell right into that whole mix of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And check out the Facebook page. I just posted 10 alternative episode titles to see if you could figure out which 10 episodes I was talking about.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is funny. Like the one tonight, I dubbed this one Explosive Prejudice on the Prairie.
Oh, my God. So this one I remember liking a lot when I was younger. I remember thinking there's a lot more, I guess, intense drama going on in this particular episode. Yes, something sure you don't get this kind of seriousness sometimes with a Little House in the Prairie.
It's a very serious episode.
Let's see. When this aired on March 3rd, 1976.
Yes. Way, way back.
And what they're doing is they're finding out that the grain is only selling for like a few cents. They expected, I guess, a few extra cents.
And yeah, I think they said the year before it went for 30-something cents a bushel, and now it's like 3 cents or 6 cents.
Yeah, something like that. And so they're like, we have to make money. And you have Isaiah and Charles basically having to go over to the hiring hall, which I've never heard of.
Me neither. That's why I put in quotes.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's
something new.
Go over to the hiring hall. You know, it's
the work source.
I'll play their first clip.
What do you say?
Sorry, but 7 cents a bushel is the best I can do. You got to be joking.
It was 34 cents a bushel last year. What happened?
Well, it's a bumper crop. Too much grain. Bottom fell clean out of it. Well, what do you think?
I think we're going to have a hard time paying back the money we borrowed to buy seed.
Yeah, but I'm giving you a penny more than the other buyers will give you.
All right, Mr. Kohler, if that's it, that's it.
Next year is bound to be better.
What I need is another way of making a living.
Yeah, well, now if you mean that, you ought to go over to the hiring hall.
Now, how much is a bushel? That's what I kind of wonder. Because they only have wagon loads, right? I mean, how many bushels could they really have?
I know, and we keep talking about bushels and pecks in other episodes, and pecks, if I'm not mistaken, pecks equals X amount of pecks equals one bushel. So I'm wondering because
it says here that a U.S. One bushel is equal to a U.S. liquid gallon. But 9.3 U.S. liquid gallons. So, oh wait, here we go. It depends. It's about 60 pounds of something. What is it that they're selling? Wheat, you think, or corn?
Yeah, I think it's wheat grains. So four pecks make a bushel.
So they have one bushel is 60 pounds of wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, how many pounds? I mean, how many bushels could they have? I mean, it's 7 cents for 60 pounds.
Well, let's see, because they're saying that a peck in the United States, the customary unit is the equivalent of 2 dry gallons or 8 dry quarts. So if you had 2 gallons, I'm trying to think of how many.
But I never heard of gallons as being a dry measurement. I'm pretty sure it's just a liquid measurement.
Well, it is, but I think they're just trying to get the, like, maybe in one bag, like in mm-hmm. one sack of grain.
Yeah, sack is a bushel, I bet, because that's about the size of, like if you buy soil or something, it comes in, like, 50 or 60-pound bags.
Yeah.
And, or sand or something, and right. That's what these look like. So, I mean, they're literally selling, like, yeah, they're making nothing. I mean, what do they have, like, nothing. 20 bushels here? What is it, $1.40?
Wow.
No, it's less. It's bizarre. All right, so it's pretty depressing being a farmer. So I'll finish out this.
Railroad's got a man there hiring. Do no harm to talk. We'll unload your wagon.
Thank you.
At least they unload the wagon.
Try the hiring
off. Right.
What do we got to lose?
I mean, even if they had 100 bushels, it's $7, you know?
Right.
Wow.
Not a lot.
No.
Something I can do for you?
Welcome to the hiring call.
For work. We heard you were hiring.
Well, let's see. I need 12 drillers, 2 puttermen, 25 levers, 2 swampers, and a cook, and I got them all. The only thing open is a couple of freighting jobs. You might not want.
What kind of freight?
Well, it's mountain country. Hard going.
Mountains. We have them for breakfast.
How much you pay?
Well, it's a short job. 10 days, 2 weeks. We're paying $100 in beans. Transportation both ways.
$100 for 10 days. What are we hauling?
Explosives.
Never seen it to fail.
Don't worry about it. I've worked with dynamite.
He's talking about blasting oil. It ain't the same thing. You hit a chuck hole with a wagon load of that stuff, they'll be raking you up from here to Springfield.
Who asked this guy? This is like the guy when you're on the express line in the supermarket, and it's like, you just want to buy the, you know, the 1.5 quarts of ice cream.
Star.
You went for a half a gallon of ice cream, but apparently they only come in 1.5 quarts now. And you're standing there and you're like, I just want to pay for the stupid, you know, Breyers ice cream. Mm-hmm. And this guy turns to you and it's like, can you believe this line? Blasting oil. That's who this guy is.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
Or, yeah. He's like, oh, can I write a check? No, you can't write a check.
No, you can't. Well, and you know what I was thinking really quickly? We were talking about bushels and pecks. I forgot that wheat can weigh more or less. If they let the wheat really get what they call heavy in the milk,
right?
Wheat can weigh anywhere. A bushel of wheat can weigh anywhere between 46 and 60 pounds. So it's really kind of hard to tell. But, you know, obviously, Charles and Edwards did not harvest their stuff in good time, because if they'd have gotten in earlier, they'd have gotten more money for it. Everybody else has already brought their wheat, so the bottom fell out.
Yeah, they're lazy. They're procrastinators.
That's right.
This is something that we'll see. This is only the end of the second season. This is something that we'll see that will happen over the course of the next 7 seasons.
Yeah. So
laziness.
Exactly. Paul was real busy in that first season building a house and helping everybody, and
but blasting oil, you know, this is the stuff that Albert Nobel invented that. Well, he invented a way. He didn't invent it. He invented a way of blasting it. You know, he made it safer. But the actual chemical itself, actually, the guy talks about it, which is kind of interesting. Here, I'll.
You want the job? You get the train here at 6 p.m. Friday.
You want to take it?
If we don't, it's going to be a long winter.
All right, look at it. It'll take us 3 days to get back to Walnut Grove.
Well, I'll see you, Karen.
We'll never make it back here in time for the train.
I didn't get the train in Springfield Saturday morning.
We'll be on it.
I'll need some signatures.
And this is the first time we see Edwards just make an axe. Like, they don't really go too far into this, of his lack of education.
Right.
Because he's very street smart. You know, he's a very intelligent person. It's just he never learned the reading and writing arithmetic. Well, I guess maybe arithmetic, but the reading and writing.
Right. Ciphering.
Ciphering, exactly. Jeez. Jezebel! Jezebel! I have to have that as an evergreen that saved the woman yelling, Jezebel!
That's right. I didn't see remnant.
So, Pa goes home and he's gonna just basically lie, you know, through his teeth that it's not much of a job.
So am I.
Oh, I missed you.
I missed you.
Caroline's hair has never been lighter than
right?
this. It's almost gray, but I don't think it is. I can't really tell.
I'm glad.
And she acts like she hadn't seen. Did everything go all right?
Yeah, it's been 35 minutes.
Pretty good.
Something's wrong now. What is it?
I got 7 cents a bushel.
What?
I wasn't the only farmer to have a bumper crop. They got enough grain in Mankato to fill the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, after all that work.
I know. Hey, I got some good news. Edward and I got a job.
Where? Oh, Charles, not away, not again.
It's only for 2 weeks, and I'm going to make $100.
$100?
That's right, a little freighting job, and I'm on my way home.
Well, why on earth would they pay that kind of money?
For you.
Well, it's the railroad. You know, the way the railroad is, they got a lot of money. They don't care how they spend it.
Liar, liar.
Are you sure it's only for 2 weeks?
I'm sure. I got to leave tomorrow morning. I'd like one good home-cooked meal before I go. So why don't you get started while I unhitch the team, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't you?
Cook that food, woman.
Now, go on.
It's just kind of, oh, Charles, you're
go
always...
Go on, go cook that food, woman. Get exactly. In the kitchen with your bare feet. Okay, I've got one more interesting thing about blasting oil. I found this on the fandom site, and I thought it was interesting. I'm glad we're not the only ones that nitpick these episodes to death. It says, it's a little odd that the railroad would transport nitroglycerin blasting oil by wagon in the year this episode takes place. One reason dynamite was invented in 1867 was because so many parts of the country had banned the transportation of blasting oil because it was so unstable.
Right. But what they're forgetting is it needed to go from one area to another area. You know, there still needs to be that last UPS.
Yeah, it's a short area. Yeah.
Because they don't travel too far with it.
Excellent point.
And, of course, the nitroglycerin needs to get to an area that's not exactly developed yet.
Right.
Because why else would you need it? So,
well, shut my mouth.
And, you know, these fandom, you know, things and these Little House on the Prairie sites and all this kind of stuff, you guys don't know what you're doing.
Right to Mark.
Mark at WalnutGroveCast.com. No, I mean, I appreciate a lot of what they're talking about, but I think, you know, in the real world, you do need to have this type of transport.
Yeah.
And they would be more than happy to spend this tiny bit of money. I mean, we're talking major, major money. And they were transporting quite a bit of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I sit corrected.
Only thing that I'm going to say is I've handled nitroglycerin and pure sodium in chemistry. And, you know, both extremely, extremely volatile. The thing is that the nitroglycerin that I handled was more of a jelly Okay. And what they did is they added gelatin to it at some point, and I thought it was before this period of time, so that it would remain stable. Because if you were to just put nitroglycerin in a, in these glass vials and put a cork on top, and it splashed, it would blow up. It would have to be sealed, and a lot of times these would also likely they wouldn't be dipped in wax. They would be dipped in something. I forget what it is. But it was a material that would seal it because you wouldn't want one of these corks to get loose. And it would probably be a rubber stopper instead that you could actually that would release pressure and stuff. Yeah. But anyway, I'm being nitpicky, but
it's – we got to do what we do best.
And another thing, I don't believe that they would have them in hay. I believe that they would have cotton at least like cozies, like people buy cozies for their drinks. Well, it would have something like that. Or wool.
That was made with little individual compartments in it.
Right, like balls of something. Not something to wrap it like a blanket, but balls of something so that it would keep it somewhat stable. Yeah. I don't believe that they would use hay off of, you know, a wagon. You know.
Right. Well, unless they packed it down. You remember in the books, Lore and the Long Winter, Lord, they were twisting that hay into sticks to burn it. So apparently you can twist it to a point where it gets hard. I know that's kind of a totally different thing, but
hay is pretty tough. It is hard.
It'll catch your fingers.
Yeah, absolutely. But on the other hand, it breathes. So maybe it would have been used. I'm just not really sure. But I also would imagine that they would want wagons that have maybe a more looser suspension.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe they tried.
I'm confused. I'm confused.
So here, Gracie's going to talk to Edwards with their fancy walls.
Yes.
I'll gain 10 pounds by the time we get there.
We have Rodimus making an appearance in this episode, of course. And the other two, I don't know what their names are. Maybe the Carter kids?
Carl,
I don't know what their names
are. Carl and Alicia.
Yeah.
Now I've checked everything. You'll find two extra pairs of socks in the bedroll.
Two? Ain't gonna be gone long enough. Need more than one.
Now you wear them. And the underwear, too. I don't want those other men to think I'm not taking good care of you.
They'll wonder why I didn't bring my butler along. Well,
he knows how to sweet talk her.
Yeah. Romance. Sleeping from his
pores. I expect you better be getting going if you
want to get
this.
Did you pack any bread?
You boys got everything straight?
Some more corn whiskey. Oh, yeah,
Alicia. You're just fine, don't worry.
Get Alicia here to Doc Baker's. Cold weather coming on, you want to check her tonsils?
I'll remember.
People don't get their tonsils taken out anymore, do they?
Well, let's be going.
I don't know.
You should better.
I still have my tonsils, but I was going to have them taken out, and then for whatever reason I didn't. But I don't think people get tonsils taken out anymore.
I don't think they do either, but thank God I was knocked out in the hospital when I had mine when I was 7. My mother had hers taken out in World War II Europe, and they didn't knock them out. She had to hold her own. She had to hold her own vomiting tray.
Ooh, what did they do? Just take a fish line around it and just
I don't even know. But that's all I remember. That's all.
Jeez, that's terrible.
Yeah, isn't that horrible?
You know what's interesting about that? You know, this is going to be a little bit of a rabbit hole. But I was talking to somebody about measles vaccines, and you know, they have the MMR shot, the measles, mumps, and rubella. And rubella is essentially German measles. But then there was the mumps. But it was interesting that I remember I had measles when I was little.
Me too.
I went to all of my siblings did, and we had measles. And it was I remember it. I was very little. I was like 5, and I remember being very warm. Like the flu without the vomiting. And it was fine. But now people, like, you know, now they talk about the measles as, like, this big thing. And I was telling somebody about this. And they're like, no, you did not have the measles. Measles has always been considered to be this big deal, right? But it wasn't, right? I am not misremembering this.
I don't think it was, because back when I grew up in the 60s, mothers would actually bring their kids. It was kind of like
measles parties, the chicken pox.
Yeah. It was. Oh, I'm thinking of chicken pox. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, but it was the same thing with the measles. So I'm going to play a clip that has nothing to do with the Little House on the Prairie, but it does fit into the same sort of period of time. It's a Brady Bunch clip about the measles. Oh. Do you like the Brady Bunch?
Oh, I love it. Are you kidding?
But this is their take on the measles.
Peter, what are you doing home from school?
They sent me home. Measles.
It's either measles or a strange case of red freckles.
You have got a temperature.
They told me 101.1. What's the record?
Never mind.
Oh, are you sure it's the measles?
Well, he certainly got all the symptoms. A slight temperature, a lot of dots, and a great big smile.
A great big smile.
No school for a few days.
Say hello to my dotted son for me. Tell him I'll bring him some comic books and I'll see you later, dear.
Okay, honey, bye.
Boy, this is the life, isn't it?
Yeah. If you have to get sick, you sure can't beat the measles.
Now, you heard her right. If you to get sick, you can't beat the measles. And now listen to these other people who are very much against shots.
That's right. No medicine.
Inside or out. Like shots, I mean.
Don't even mention shots. Yuck!
Anyway, I just thought I'd play that. And ironically enough, they also dealt with the mumps with Melissa Sue Anderson in an episode, you know, where she plays Millicent in the Brady Bunch. I'm not going to play that one. But that one is where she kisses Bobby and Bobby
skyrockets.
And it's a very cute episode. Very early for Melissa Sue Anderson. And anyway.
Yeah, I know the Brady Bunch inside and out. I can literally watch it. And within the first 10 seconds, I can tell you which episode
is bad. In a lot of ways, it has a similarity to Little House on the Prairie in the sense. The opening music is always setting the tone of the episode.
Yeah, and the episode where Greg is stoned when they rebuilt that boat, he was high on the set. Anyway, we digress.
When Johnny Bravo. No, I know a lot about the Brady Bunch. Too much about the Brady Bunch, actually.
Yeah, me too.
So,
our new podcast.
that is a podcast I wouldn't do. I would review an episode, but I would not. I don't think I could go down those. Do you know how many episodes? I bet you don't.
I don't know how many episodes. I just would never want to do the last episode when Robert Reed walked off the set and Greg graduated college with the orange hair. No.
That is, you know, you're right. That is the last filmed episode, but that was not the last aired episode.
Right.
But yeah, there were 81 episodes. Oh, I want to say 81, but I believe it's 86.
All right.
I have to look into that. Yeah, it's not important. Back to 1876.
Yes.
So Isaiah is basically saying, all right, woman, I'm out of here. And
then they have to tug on our heartstrings by having Alicia run after Mr. Edwards, but daddy or pa or whatever.
Right.
They had to wring a tear out.
Yeah, it's. Hold on. I just messed this up. So Edwards and Charles go to a pretty nice train. You know, I think it's a pretty interesting. I don't know where they filmed this that they were able to get these really amazing trains. They might have even had them on a set that was nearby.
I didn't think that Edwards was going to make it, man. Charles, they were late and they had to chase the train to get on it.
Here they are getting on the train. All right. I thought this was a dialogue part. There's a lot of lack of dialogue in this episode. A lot of scenes like this that go on for 25 seconds. Of a train pulling out of the station. 30 seconds. Holy moly. 35 second scene. So they catch the train, they jump on, and here they are.
That's kind of fancy, ain't it?
Yeah, looks good. Tickets!
We don't have any tickets.
Hey, Mr.
Just got this piece of paper right here.
I thought so. Railroad hired help.
We're wagon freighters.
But I said hired help.
Yeah.
You're in the wrong place. This is the president's car. You're going to have to move forward.
Yeah, we're sorry. Come on.
Who's the president?
Not as fancy as the last car. Still looks comfortable.
Well, one seat's as good as another.
Excuse me.
How about these here?
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, you two. Hey! Keep going. Next car.
I haven't done this much walking since we walked to Springfield.
And they're outside.
You can have the window seat.
So it was a halfway decent joke.
President was Rutherford B. Hayes, by the way, if anybody wants to know that.
Yeah, he's a character actor that you kind of see popping up in a lot of this period of films. So let's see. Where do we go? The manager talks to the men, and they introduce themselves. They're like, I don't think they're nervous enough yet at how serious this is. You know what? I'm going to go right to the nitroglycerin speech.
Okay.
Another thing I want to mention is this has probably one of the great American actors, Louis Gossett Jr., and he's really at the top of his game even in this little role, and the guy is just such a good actor. He really is.
He's so good in this role, and he's easy on the eyes too. It's just like dying, but Fashion 76. Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, here we go.
Let's move on.
So he pulls out a cylinder of a clear liquid that seems to have the consistency of water, not a gelatin. So, and it would also be kind of foggy if it was in a gelatin solution. So that's another thing.
Blasting oil. Made of nitric and sulfuric acids and sweet glycerin. Discovered in France in 1846. First use as fuel for household lamps. Burns with a clean and steady flame.
Burning a lamp can't be too dangerous.
There's 6 ounces of nitro in this bottle. If it blows, this whole place is kindling.
6 ounces?
That's right. You'll be carrying 5 gallons in each wagon. I suggest you treat it with the utmost respect.
5 gallons? I mean, it's pretty serious.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting because before nitroglycerin was invented, the primary explosive was black powder for hundreds of years. Yeah, like that's what they would that was just the primary explosive. And when let me see, what is the name of the guy who invented it? Ascanio Sobrero. he invented it, like this guy mentioned, in 1846, but it was Nobel who designed the blasting cap. So he made it almost usable. Not just almost usable, he made it useful. And he made it even more stable in the future by integrating it into dynamite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cool. And then even after dynamite, he continued to make it more and more he made it safer and safer, but of course you might know that Nobel never intended this to be used as a weapon. It was you know, of course used throughout World War I and II as a weapon, but
yeah, we get a little education by Mr. Peters in the long the 100-mile walk when he talks about dynamite, how you can step on it and burn it and do all this stuff to it, but it won't do anything unless you put the wick thing in it or whatever it's called.
But that's not necessarily true. Dynamite that is old will weep, actually, and it becomes it can over time become extremely unstable.
Alrighty. Well, so. Mr. Peters was a liar then.
No, I mean, I think when it's fresh, it's very safe. You can throw it around and everything. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that once it weeps, you really shouldn't be anywhere near it, unless you would like to die. Mm-hmm. They also signed $5,000 life insurance policies that they, in the event that they die, you know, their next of kin would get. Now, yes. That's worth $123,000 into, you know, today's standards.
Oh, wow.
It would have been a nice little payoff, you know, but still, I think Caroline would not want to live a life of walls. She would choose to just have Charles.
Yes, absolutely. Grace, I'm not so sure, but Caroline, yeah.
Grace is like, together they could buy a really nice house.
Right.
A nice homestead.
She loves Mr. Edwards.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a charmer.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
So we have somebody who's not normally in this, and that's an African American in the mix. And as I mentioned before, it's Louis Gossett Jr., who at the time was very popular, right? I mean, he had worked before this. I remember the earliest thing I've seen Louis Gossett Jr. in was working with Bill Cosby on The Bill Cosby Show in, like, I think, 66.
Yeah, this was before his Oscar for Officer and a Gentleman.
Oh, and the Raisin in the Sun he did it prior to this.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to look on IMDb. I'll do that real quick. But here's the scene. Because we, of course, have to have one racist. Not really racist. Absolutely. I'm not going to say he's flat out racist. He's just prejudice. He's prejudice.
Henry?
Sir?
This is Henry Hill. Man who teams with him will be lucky indeed.
I thought he was an Irish-Italian. You know, Henry Hill from Goodfellas, you know. But he's an African-American.
Henry's made this trip a dozen times. He knows as much about blasting oil as any man alive. Except me.
Mister, I don't team up with anyone the likes of him.
Suit yourself. You can leave with the other one. There should be no accidents. We expect none. However, in an uncertain world, all things are possible. I have here insurance policies in the amount of $5,000 to be paid to the heirs of any accident victims. Pen and ink are over in the house.
Are you going to pay $100 for 10 days' work?
That's right.
For that kind of money, I reckon I can put up with it. For 10 days.
What do you say, Henry?
Well, like you said, with that kind of money, I reckon I can put up with it for 10 days.
So let me put in my calculator. What's $100 equivalent to? Yeah, we're looking at like about a $2,500 payoff, you know? That's really good money when you have nothing, you know? Yeah. You know, when you have a failed crop.
Even when they brought their crop in, it was failed. Jeez.
Well, even at 34 cents a bushel, that's only like $35, right? If they had 100. I mean, they're still looking at, you know, bringing home three times the amount of money.
Right.
So it's a win-win on all avenues. So they get them moving. They continue going, and immediately it's just completely stress. You know, this is going to be the most stressed out 240 hours that they'll ever encounter in their entire lives.
Exactly.
So let's see. Charles sits down to write a letter to Caroline.
Pardon me.
Caroline's his wife. If you're listening to the show and you don't know that Caroline is Charles' wife, you should go back to episode one.
Exactly. Well, and we really can't go any further without talking about Prejudice Man, because that's played by Richard Jekyll, and Little House watchers know him better as Herb Hartwig.
Oh, really? This guy's been in it before?
Oh, yes. He was the rapist in Sylvia.
Oh, that's how I know this guy. He's a good-looking guy.
He was the rapist in Sylvia.
The rapist.
Yeah.
Is he still around?
Hartwig. Let me see if he's still around. See, now I have a laptop. No, he passed away in 1997.
Wow. sorry. Doing on the fly research is something that I've learned that is difficult, but it's, you know, it's definitely needed sometimes.
Oh, he was in the Dirty Dozen.
So I'm going to play the clip of them writing. They kind of reference Edward's lack of his lack of reading and writing.
Yeah, it's not hard. I could teach if you want to try.
Oh, try. I'd get busting all the pencils. Don't know what it'd say anyway. No, writing's harder than talking. I get tongue-tied doing that.
You want me to write something for you? You're going to have to send that insurance policy to Grace. You're going to have to tell her something. I told Carolyn to just save it, not worry about it.
Well, then, I guess you better write something for me. Let's see now.
Hey, Richard Jackal was born in Long Beach here on Long Island, New York.
Oh, yeah, I didn't catch that. I'm looking at all the stuff that he did, and I should say that he did the Dirty Dozen TV series. I thought he's too young to have done the original Dirty Dozen. It was the TV series, it looks like. Well, no, it's got the movie poster for the original movie. He played Sergeant Bowren, 1967, apparently.
But he was born in Long Beach at a period of time where the Marx Brothers lived there, and it's a very strange period of time for that particular the city of Long Beach. I lived there for a while. It's a lot of famous people like Billy Crystal came out of there, and you know people. But that's kind of cool.
He did everything like most everybody else on Little House, Airplane 2, the sequel, Fantasy Island.
Yeah. But he has a career that goes back to the early 40s, so that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But he was in Starman, so that's pretty cool. I have to look more into this guy. But here's Isaiah saying what he wants Charles to write, which is kind of cute.
Feel funny saying it to you.
Come on, Dear Grace, that's an easy way to start, huh?
All right, Dear Grace, tell her everything's fine and give the young'uns a kiss and
And
I love her.
Begrudgingly.
Charles smiles.
Don't sit there grinning like a cat in a birdhouse. Write it down.
So, Lewis Gossett Jr.'s character comes in.
How you doing?
Yep. I'm gathering letters.
He's still feeling them out. He's not really sure if Charles and Isaiah are, you know, just going to wave from a distance or the, you know, like what kind of people they are. So, I think that there are a couple little things here that they let him know that, you know, that they're good people, they're decent people, and they're only going to judge him for the way he is, not the way he looks.
The phrase, you'll see to it that it gets to the railroad mail car.
I'll have this one done in a minute.
Hey, you want some coffee?
Yeah, I get my cup.
Oh, no, I got one right here. This.
That alone, it's a very tiny gesture. But for a white man to give an African-American man, you know, a cup that he used is one of these things where...
Oh, all right, absolutely.
For you and me, who cares? You know, it's like, you know, I really don't care. But back then, it was a tremendous big deal. And for them to not even think about it, he's not doing it to be nice. He's doing it because why are you going to go and get a cup? We have one right here.
Exactly.
It's a human thing. It's not you know, anything else but that.
It brings up the memory of the scene from the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman where they're trying to stop and get water from that southern woman that's living in the shack. And she's like, do you think I'm going to let your dirty lips foul this cup? And people are crazy.
Yep, they are.
Mm-hmm. And the taste won't bother you too much. There you go. Here, set yourself down.
He is that amazed.
By the way, I have to. I think I might have mentioned this during the little chat thing when we did the live thing, you know, the airing the other night, where I said I'm going to eventually release my my experiments in cowboy coffee.
Oh.
No, but I'm going to tell people how to make a cup of coffee smooth and just the way that the cowboys would make it.
Okay. Now, but you put salt in it.
No, there's no salt in it.
Okay. No, I mean, I know some people that sprinkle a little
bit. No. I've put salt in. If you have coffee that's not great, like if you have like some, you know, just really kind of like some acidy coffee, some kind of questionable coffee, right. A pinch of salt will go a very long way in making and brew the salt into it. Don't just, I mean, you can sprinkle it on top, but if you brew it into it and it has a chance to sit there and, actually develop it, it really can cut down not only the acid, but it gives it a nice, it lends itself really nicely to the bitterness of coffee. That being said, I've not seen a cowboy recipe that would ask for salt, but the way I've been making it, people would think I'm burning it, but I'm not. So I'll share it one of these days. I'm trying to find one of those old kettles, you know, like the kind they use.
Yes, the blue ones with the white speckles on them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're really made of. I know that they need to be seasoned, though, to do it correctly. And being that they would get banged around so easily, they would definitely develop holes. And then you have to figure a way to solder it with lead-free solder. So, you know, there's a lot of feelers out on my end. But cowboy coffee is coming, and that's what they're drinking, you know.
All righty.
Oh, and another thing, people, cowboy coffee. It's one of these things. They're drinking it at night, and people are like, oh, I would never be able to drink coffee at night. It doesn't make you jittery the way that you would normally think.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, some people have stomach issues with it. Some people have, you know, gastro issues with it, I guess.
Gastrointestinal.
Yes. And this, I don't know, this avoids it triggering any of that. So stay tuned.
There you go.
There you go.
Hey, you mind answering me a question?
If I can.
Well, this here nitro, I mean, if it's as dangerous as they say it is.
By the way, have you ever drank coffee out of one of these metal cups?
No, I don't think so. Right, maybe a long time ago.
I was camping just this past, a few months ago or something, and one of the dads brought like a nice thermos of really good coffee, and he's like, here, have some. I just heated it up. And he pours it for me. I go to drink it. My bottom lip is burning because there's no buffer between you. I mean, the metal translates all of the heat right to your...
No insulated cup for you.
Yeah, that was...
I know I couldn't have done that. I can't even stand it. Every time I go to Starbucks, I always get my coffee extra hot. And it's like, excuse me, can I have one of those cardboard things? Is this burning my hand?
I want to kill the trees. No, you're not killing any trees. But, but it cools off really quickly too, because it is, you know, translating. But I just remember that as he was drinking it, that he's gonna burn his mouth.
Kind of like those metal cups that we used to use in the 60s. Those bright colored metal cups that would melt the ice real fast. I know it's a totally different thing, but you know what I'm talking about?
No.
They were metal cups, and they came in really bright, like jewel colors, pink and blue and green and kind of a yellowish gold, and that the cups, of course, would get freezing when you put the ice and the soda in, but it made the ice melt really quickly because of, I guess, the chemical reaction between the metal and the ice or something. I don't know.
You know, I'm looking this up. I have to look up what you're talking about.
Totally,
I'm not familiar with
what you're talking about, but yeah.
Are you talking about like maybe aluminum? 60s. Aluminum?
Yeah, I think they were aluminum cups.
You're
not a child of the 60s. That's why you don't know.
No, but I collect stuff from the 60s. Like I have a collection of cornflower blue corningware and stuff.
Oh, I've got that too.
The teapot thing. And
I still use it.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? You know, but
still use it.
How come you keep coming back for more? I mean, how much money can a man use?
All I need. I got a lot of family.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, I got two boys and a girl. How about you?
I have no children of my own. My family's my aunts, my uncles, brothers. Got a whole pass of them.
Why do you take a job like this?
Well, same as always. Nobody else would take it. Only difference is this one pays good. Good Lord willing, this will be my last trip.
Yeah, there you go. Letters are all finished.
Thanks for the coffee.
Oh, you're welcome.
See you in the morning.
I think that might be the end of the
clip. Oh, I'll be taking the lead wagon tomorrow. Give you a chance to get used to things.
Thank you.
See you in the morning.
See ya.
Oh, see you in the morning.
Finish this coffee. Oh. Get myself some sleep.
Yes.
I like the mug that Charles is using. I don't really know where I would find those.
I don't know.
So get on it. Figure it out.
I'm looking on eBay right now at all the blue and white speckled coffee pots. I got a ton of them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, garage sales season is coming, so.
Right.
But I have enough stuff. You know, I'm not looking for anything new. So what do we have? We have a lot of weird stuff. We have a new friend. Everybody loves Charles, right? So we have some they get together the next day, and it's really kind of nerve-wracking because it's literally glass cylinders in the middle of hay that are in like boxes.
Right.
On a wagon. It's like you wouldn't even want to pack eggs like this.
No.
So it's a lot of sounds and noise, so I'm going to play some of that because you wrote here how the music is a little scary, and it is, and it gets very intense right before the commercial breaks. And
yes.
I would love to hear this music over when Almanzo is taking Laura to the job, to her first work.
When Laura's walking up on Brenda Sue to beat the crud out of her.
Exactly.
Or when Miss Peel walks in the classroom.
Yeah. Like when Laura and Almanzo are dancing and yeah, it's a lot of this going on for about a good 30 minutes. It's like, wow, that's ongoing.
Wheels, Mr. Edwards moving rocks out the way, close up on the wagon wheels, the bottles jiggling.
Yeah, a lot of squeaks and a lot of
flight. It probably already would have blown sky high.
Yeah, it very well might have. So they discuss a problem that they find in the middle of the road. Charles and Edwards.
You sure do.
To get it out of here, we're going to need what we ain't got, a cross-cut saw.
Yeah. Well, the horse is never going to budge this. The road's too narrow to turn around in.
Stupid horses.
He'll ought to be here in a minute. We'll check with him.
Yeah.
Blast it away.
Right.
A couple drops.
Got us a problem, huh?
Yeah, a big one.
What do you think?
Well, we got plenty of rope. The road doubles back up there. We could take the teams out there and pull the wagons up.
That's too rough a hill. We're never going to get up.
We won't know unless we try.
We'll unhitch the teams.
Come on, Pat. Come on, Jimmy. Ah!
So this is basically on a loop for the next like 10 minutes of.
Oh, go, Pat. Get up, Jerry.
Yeah, that goes on for a while.
For a long while.
We
Pat
get
and Jerry, the horses.
We get Louis Gossett Jr. basically stepping up and being a man, and showing what a weakling this Irishman is. So
right.
Basically says, I'll do it, and makes his first real jab at the guy.
Well, one down, one to go.
Well, you can stay up and drive the team. I can handle wagon tongue by myself.
You sure?
Well, didn't you know we was created for this kind of work?
Well,
boom.
Then you go back to the loop of the, you know, horses.
We don't have an explosion sound saved on Every time he drops a bomb, bam.
Yeah,
we have the bell ringing.
So they get up there successfully. They get the nitroglycerin, the wagons, and everything's fine. Louis Costa Jr. offers him a drink.
Ready to move out in 5 minutes. I'll hitch up the team. Like a drink?
As well.
I got my own canteen.
Right. Well, you shouldn't be sharing canteens, personally, but that would be my thing, because I wouldn't drink out of someone else's canteen if you have your own. But
well, yeah.
That's just the way we actually teach the scouts not to share canteens either.
Okay.
Especially with girls.
So, why?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Cooties in elementary school.
You get cooties. Yeah, you get cooties. People think cooties aren't real, but you know, they're lice. They're hair lice.
Don't even go there. Okay.
What, cooties? Cooties are real.
I never had lice in school. My daughter did one time, though.
You had it elsewhere?
Stop.
No, you're the one who said you didn't have it in school. But...
I never had lice. My daughter had lice once, and she had impetigo.
Hmm.
But and that was nasty.
It's weird. I'm looking this up, right? And it's saying that it's a children's term for an imaginary germ. But no, cooties are a real parasite.
Well, in the 60s, they weren't. We just said, ew, you're a boy, you've got cooties. We all dreaded when we had to practice square dancing and actually hold hands with the boys. It's like, we really used to do that kind of stuff back in the 60s.
Well, yeah.
Square dancing.
Well, that was fun.
All the boys singing, swing your partner round and round, throw in the toilet, flush her down. Yeah, that's right.
But wait, this isn't in Texas, right?
A little 60s humor. Oh, yes. I've been in Houston since I was 4 years old.
Oh, okay. So, yes. Tejas. So that's different, you know? It's like the home of the cowboy boot.
Yeehaw. Yeah, we all thought we were going to live on a ranch when we moved here. I think there's people still in parts of the world that think we all live on ranches in Texas. We don't.
You sure you do? I'm sure there's a ranch nearby.
Oh, yeah, there is.
See?
I drive past ranches all the time. But I'm saying everybody doesn't live on a ranch and ride horses.
Sure you do. Do you pay? They're dirt roads, and it's there's tumbleweeds. And
at rodeo time, when we have the big Houston rodeo, though, the cattle driver people, or whatever they're called, they have those big, you would probably do that if you lived here in Houston. They go out on the road for like 2 weeks and they travel all the way into Houston from the trail riders is what I was trying to think of. Yeah, the trail riders.
I would be a trail rider?
Yeah, but you, because you like adventure. You'd probably snatch up that little precious son of yours and y'all would go on the trail for a couple of weeks. And ride into Houston and all the glory and be cooking on the open campfire and all that stuff. You would.
Nah, I'd probably be planning a trip to New York.
No, stop.
Don't. I wish I lived on Long Island.
I love New York.
Anyway. It's like, I wish we lived on Long Island where there's no history respected. Right. There's no culture. Now, there's culture here. It's just...
I
am very, very critical of my town and their lack of culture.
We're not all about culture here.
No, not lack of culture, but lack of historical appreciation.
Ah, gotcha.
All right, so here we go. We're at the mail chute. We're at mailbox, et cetera, of Walnut Grove.
You look through these.
It's just people's mail.
Exactly. I was going to say Carolyn and what's her name? Breaking the law, rummaging through all.
Exactly. It's like, this one's from the widow, blah, blah, blah. It feels like there's cash in there.
Yeah, going to get Kezia steaming it open with the pot.
Exactly.
Well, what in the world? Here's one from Isaiah. He must have put Charles up to it. He can't even write.
Is it one there from Charles?
What are you laughing about?
great. He teach can't even him. Write. I've got an uneducated husband.
She's like that woman from she's almost as bad as that. What's her name? The Jezebel lady.
Oh, Miss Peel.
She's like Miss Peel. She wants to keep a man down.
That's right.
Oh, just a minute.
My conspiracy theory.
Here.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So they're opening it up, giggling.
They have that bomb sound effect right about here.
Well.
So they look at each other and they realize, like, oh my god, they're transporting an explosive and
a $5,000 insurance policy. Woohoo! We're rich.
Seriously, these two. Like, first I'm gonna buy myself an inside out house.
And a brooch.
Yeah. Can you write?
And a water closet.
Exactly. It's really sad. They look very upset, and they should be, because what they're doing is extremely dangerous. And
yes,
and it's tough. Ma lies to the kids, which is a common occurrence. She lies to them and reads the letter and just basically says, "Your pa misses you." Yeah. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, we go back to the trails. We go back to those trails, and Henry Hill is saying there's a problem.
Anything wrong?
Got us a little trouble. Gone up 20 degrees since this morning.
20 degrees.
Yes.
Yeah. Up there in the nervous area.
A little water works wonders.
Well, that's the trouble. All we got is a little water. Go ahead. Tell him it was my fault. It was a bad spigot on the water barrel. Lost most of the water before we knew what was happening. That's because I left that open.
Yeah, idiot.
False, man. I should have replaced that spigot before we started on this trip. I left that open. Now you say it.
Look, I don't need no black man to make excuses for me.
Oh.
Now take it easy. We got some water.
Now
we
went there?
Boom.
Can't take it back. You apologize.
Bucket full of water be a blessing. At least enough to last us to the next water.
How far is that?
About 5 miles. We got about 2 more miles on this road in here. And there's a turn off to the right leading to Old Farm with a good well. At least it was good last time I was there.
That sounds easy enough.
Still like that bucket full of water for insurance, though. I'll walk back with you.
Right.
Hold it. I'll get the water.
Great.
Nobody's going to have to do my job for me.
Yeah, apparently they do.
Right.
That turnoff's a little hard to spot. We'll be way up ahead.
Yeah, so it's a pretty stressful situation because they I'll play when Charles basically confronts the Irishman.
I like instructions. Yeah. Acting so high and mighty like he's not scared of nothing. The fact of the matter is he don't have enough brains to be scared. You know, the trouble with this country is that Lincoln died about 4 years too late. Good men killing each other off for what? So we could free the likes of him? Why, I killed better men than him during the war.
Murphy, I'm sure you killed a lot of men during the war, but none better than him. And as for...
What does that mean, exactly?
Charles don't even know that guy. He could be a serial killer.
I think he is a serial killer. It's funny you brought that up. You need to take care of your cough.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I feel bad.
The trouble with this country, I'm looking at it right now.
The trouble with the country. Well, there we go.
And I agree with you, Charles.
Well, I still don't know what it means that he didn't kill men who were better. Like, I don't know. I think it's a weird comment.
No, he's just trying to say that Lou Gossett Jr. is a good man. And, you know, but that's what cracks me up about it. There's none better than him. It's like, dude, you've been on the road with him for 2 days. You don't know him.
Oh, he knows
You're
him.
You're assuming he's a great guy.
You're assuming. No, I'm kidding. So. Remember, he's not really Louis Gossett Jr. He's a character.
I know.
So they get to the well and it's dried up and they're like, oh man, this sucks.
Right.
So they keep going and keep going and keep going, and they're all stressed out, the ominous music, and they finally make their way to a watering hole.
Yes, they do.
And they're all just kind of relaxing. Charles is haphazardly pouring water into his...
he's drowning him.
Relax. And we have a little visitor.
I mean, he makes all the nitro bearables. We don't have to ride on the wagon together.
You don't exactly smell like a mountain bouquet yourself.
I know it. Throw me the soap.
Here, you give him the soap. I'm too clean.
How much longer do you think?
Two more days. All easy country now. You as good as home.
Well, that sounds good to me.
Now, firing a rifle next to the nitroglycerin, and being that it's not fully cooled off, easily could have triggered it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's like kind of like when you when there's a loud noise near water and you see the ripple.
No, yeah.
Sound waves.
The horses didn't take off.
Right. You know, the sound waves, you know, they travel, and that's a very high-pitched blast, so.
Right.
But it's a little House on the Prairie, so we'll just, you know, extend this to fiction.
We'll close our eyes and keep listening.
Yes.
Nice day for bathing. You got good horses, good wagons. I'm certain sure they don't want to hang on to their riches while poor folks like us is doing without. Homer? Check that wagon.
Look, mister,
don't argue. It ain't healthy. It's just jugs, Paul. All nestled in straw like a bunch of speckled hens. Jugs and plank and rope. It's new rope. We sell that rope to the railroad.
If you get to the railroad, and you won't, blast an oil in them jugs.
What'd you say?
Blasting oil. You been to the railroad? You seen what they're doing?
Man, they're blowing down the mountains, blowing tunnels in them.
But what's in them jugs is what they use to blow down the mountains.
You're lying. Well, maybe not, Paul. I heard them talk about blasting oil.
That stuff's worth a lot of money, I'll bet you. A lot of money.
Let them have it, Charles. Please. Take it. Take a load off my back. Maybe I can start eating and sleeping again. You know, I can't stand being around this stuff. I mean, it's just getting to me like a...
Isaiah picks up one of the cylinders off of the carriage.
This and...
I'm shaking it.
There's enough of these two wagons here to blow this whole steak clean off the map.
Hey, don't do that.
Well, I got the shakes. That's what it does to you. Why don't you take it? You can have it. I don't want it.
Lord, he's crazy, Paul.
I ain't never dropped one of these, but I wouldn't be here if I had. Wouldn't be here at all if I had.
They're all looking at Isaiah like, what is he doing? Like, is he out of his mind?
You won't. I'm getting out of here. Right. I'd be all over the place if it blew up. Ah! Come on back. I want you to have this.
Think I scared him. That's the only thing you did. I think it was that.
And he's still swinging it around.
Hold it!
Be careful
with that stuff.
What's the matter?
Be careful!
Paul, pull yourself together,
you? You
Murph.
What's crazy. The matter? You're really crazy.
Ease up, Murph, now. This ain't nitro. This here is corn whiskey I distilled myself. Come on, let's hitch up the teams. Two more days and we got her made. Here, Murph, you need this more than I do.
And Murphy takes a big swig of it, too, because he really did need it.
Right.
Now, here's the thing.
Early episode, so Edwards was making whiskey
a
long time.
And that's some seriously clear hooch.
Yeah,
but
he did a good job.
Yeah, he did a very good job. I'm just kind of curious, like, when did he do that? You know, it really doesn't fall into the line of the story, but it's a funny scene nonetheless.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, what did he do? Have an extra vial and fill it with corn whiskey? Weird.
Well, he knew they were going to be gone for a couple of days. He wasn't going to do without.
But, you know, it's kind of like, what did he do with the contents of the vial?
Right?
He probably poured it under the stairs where Albert lives.
Ah, there you go.
What's this?
I went directly at Harriet Olsen's feet.
You never know with him. So Caroline comes home, and boy, is she pissed.
Yes, she is.
But if you look in the background, the wall is more complete than I've ever seen it. You still do see twigs, but below you see to the left and the bottom of the window, it's more complete with this pancake batter or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Got to plastering.
Very strange. Very strange indeed.
Oh, Mary, Laura, Carrie, where are you? Look at this mess. What have you been doing?
We were going to clean it up, Ma, but you came home too soon.
I can't leave you girls alone for 5 minutes. I don't know what possesses you. Since your father's been away, you seem determined to make things difficult.
The girls are, Mary's holding a cake, very lovely cake, and everybody has, like, their aprons on, and Carrie has powder and chocolate on her face.
Covered with flour.
Because it is...
Happy birthday, Ma.
Happy birthday, Ma.
This is not my...
She forgot her own birthday.
Oh, my goodness.
She's about to stroke out. I mean, like, what the heck? Her left eye is twitching. She's under a lot of stress right now. She even takes off the bonnet.
Gotta make a wish.
All right.
Don't light that up. That was a dynamite stick.
What you gonna wish for?
You can't tell her. It won't come true. I bet I can guess.
You want to make popcorn with Paul.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mom.
$5,000 buys a lot of popcorn.
Right.
It does a whole lot.
Even today. Oh, my God.
So let's see. So we will assume that they got to where they were going. Just they're back on the train, just like that. There's no anything. Yeah, they're all getting on a train in the president's car.
Fancy,
yeah. Hey, nice.
Gats, don't worry. We got money this time. 4 tickets to Springfield.
Not him.
Referring to, of course, Louis Gossett Jr.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You heard me, not him. This is a passenger car. He can't ride in here.
Are you looky here now?
It's all right. A little fresh air never hurt.
No, you wait a minute.
I said it's all right.
Now, here's the difference. This is going to be my little rant, okay?
All righty, I'm sitting down.
Isaiah could have gotten up and made a big stink about this, right? And been what I refer to as white knights, you know? These people who feel as though what they need to do, it's their mission to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. He did the better thing. And I'm going to play the rest of the clip.
That'll be $2 a piece.
Well, it's kind of it's a visual thing. But turn it down a little, maybe. So Charles and Edwards do the thing that I would hope that most people would do, and that's they join them. They're like, you know what? If it's not good enough for our friend, it's not good enough for us. They don't say that,
that's
of course.
That's right.
And we even see a fourth member of this little posse come out, and that's very surprising to the viewer, being that, you know, he does carry a lot of prejudices with him. But I do feel as though by joining him, you're making so much more of an impact. You're doing so much of you're doing the better thing by stomping on the elites. You know, and I think the white knights have issues. They have a lot of guilt, and this is very different. Of course, these are people based over 150 years ago, but. I just feel as though it's misguided these days. That's all.
Yeah.
But so the The prejudice guy, who I can't seem to remember his name.
Murphy.
Yeah, Murphy. He comes out and everybody's like, what the heck?
He booted me out, too. He found out I was Irish.
So this made me laugh out loud because, you know, most people probably know the Irish, the Italians, they were considered to be on the same level as African-Americans in this country at this period of time. And it's almost like you have to really kind of ask yourself who you are and what you want to believe in and who you want to be with. So at the end of the day, he's not good enough to ride in that train either. So,
right.
So that's something that is very eye-opening. I think right then and there we see what Michael Landon hoped to achieve in this episode.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, we get treated to his hilarious little high-pitched giggle.
The ha ha ha
ha ha.
Isaiah slapping both knees.
Right.
And that's it. We don't even get to see Pa go home. No popping of the corn. No. You know,
but they're laughing, even though I know that they're actors, but they're laughing in that scene is so authentic that I almost wonder if Michael Landon kept that last line as a surprise.
Yeah, you know, I even the way it was delivered was very funny.
Yeah.
I thought it's such a serious episode that a little joke that's not even that funny goes a very long way. And I feel as though this one in particular was done very well.
Yeah, it was. And I don't know if that's the truth or not, but in my little crazy imagination, I'm thinking that laughter, I know they're actors, but that laughter just seems like it's just coming from, you know, you can tell when people are fake.
Oh, laughing. Yeah.
Especially Isaiah, when he fake laughs, he doesn't fake laugh well. And like I've seen him in other episodes, like trying to laugh when you knew he really wasn't. So it comes from such a genuine place that wouldn't surprise me if Mr. Mike said, I'm not going to tell y'all the last line. I just want a spontaneous reaction to it. So
right.
Maybe so. Maybe yeah. So.
But, well, Susan, thank you very much for getting together for this wonderful episode of The Long Road Home.
You are very, very welcome.
And, all right, well, thank you. If you're listening to this and you enjoy the show, please consider supporting by going to patreon.com/WalnutGrovecast. I still have to get these bumper stickers out. I've been running around like a chicken without a head. But yeah, the bumper stickers are here. I have to get them mailed out. Hopefully I'll get them out early this week.
Oh, and you know what? The little stickers that you sent, I did put those on the back of my car.
What did they wash off?
No, they're still on there and they're just as bright as they were when I originally put them on.
How about that? No, all right. So if you have those stickers, the 2-inch, Walnut Grove Cast logo, you can slap them on a car. And
you can.
For the probably a season, maybe. I don't know how long it would last. I just got a new car, and I'm wondering if I should put one on there. I'm not really into stickers for my car, but I feel like maybe I should represent my own podcast.
Thank you. I think you should.
I don't know. I think I might get bullied if I have a I Love Little House on the Prairie sticker. If you do want one of these stickers, all you have to do is really go to Patreon and send us a support, and I'll get one right out to you. And the other ones, you know. All right. Well, Susan, again, thank you very much for getting together this evening, and I look forward to the next one.